back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Every now and again, I bring this guy on, and they got some crab cakes down there in PG County, Montgomery County. We'll go down there. But this whole Baltimore, Washington, Upper Columbia, and they call it a triangle, the Bermuda Triangle of Maryland here, that the World Cup could be coming to both of our places here, but the games would be played here. Dave Preston is a defending champion here from my wife's hometown of Manchester, New Hampshire, and he joins us from time to time. Usually talk about James Bond or Austin Powers. Usually the Moody Blues work their way into this thing, and sometimes it's even more. Dude, I didn't bother you during March Madness, so I apologize. But
I was kind of upset. I was waiting by my phone.
You had the cup there, and you were doing all that stuff that you do on Styrofoam cups. Dave Presto is the way to find Dave Preston. He's at WTOP down there in the nation's capital. And first things first, I mean, I'll beat you up at Snyder, Commanders, and all that stuff. How are you? How's life? It's been a little while since we got together, man.
I'm doing well, and you have permission to call them the comms, but you have to wear a hat on backwards when you do so.
Can I call them the commies?
The comms, man. It's been an interesting couple of months. We had the coaching change at Maryland, obviously, Kevin Willard coming to town, and so there's still the new coach smell up in College Park. Brenda Freeze lost a bunch of transfers, but just like the last time she lost a bunch of transfers, she was able to get some new kids in, and you know what? Good luck, Ashley Owusu at Virginia Tech.
So I really want to talk about DC as a sports town, right? Because like I grew up in Baltimore. The Senators had left, you know, at that point. The Redskins were everything. The Capitals were like a laughing stock in the 70s. The Bullets were the Bullets. I mean, the real Bullets, the Big E, yeah. West, all of that, right? And through all of this, the Redskins were like everything there. And then, you know, 15 years ago, baseball comes on. Ovechkin comes in. They change the name of the basketball team, like all of that. I had Bob Ryan and Dan Shaughnessy from your homeland up there in Boston a couple months ago, and I talked to them frequently a couple times a year like I do you, and I asked them what the pecking order in Boston is. And they're like, well, Patriots, and you remember when the Patriots were playing down at Schaefer Stadium and they couldn't give tickets away. Nobody would care, right? And then the Red Sox had their thing and the Celtics and the Bruins, whatever. In Washington, because it's also new for baseball,
right,
and the hockey thing has been sort of a flame having this incredible player, right? Where is it at this point? Because I feel like literally the Commanders might be below the soccer team, like in regard to how noxious, odious, offensive, and the Orioles should be that way here. I mean, there's some bleeding hearts on the Orioles, but the Orioles fans are just gone, checked out, never to come back, lacrosse out. But in DC, I often wonder, like, what's a 53-year-old guy like me if I grew up and went to Silver Spring, or like if I was really in Reston, or I grew up in Alexandria and I really was vested in all of it, where would I be right now in this mess?
I think you'd be a hockey guy, but I think that this Washington is always going to be a football town. Those roots run very deep. And even 20 years of mismanagement, I think you still, if this team starts to get good, Washington is kind of a bandwagon town and people will show up. People will go to the games. The way that things have been run the last 20 years, they've given, as opposed to, you would look for excuses to go to, now people look for excuses not to go, as opposed to, you'd really have to find a good reason back in 1995 not to go to RFK Stadium. In 2022, to go to FedEx Field, it's like, ooh, can I do something else that day? But I think the best fan base and the best run franchise right now in the area is the Washington Capitals. You know, they've been a contender for the last 15 years. And these aren't your dad's NHL playoffs, where 16 of 21 teams made the postseason, and basically it was the Hartford Whalers and maybe the Winnipeg Jets not making the playoffs, or the pre-Mario Lemieux Pittsburgh Penguins. You have to actually be good. Only 50% of the teams in the NHL make the playoffs now. And you see teams like Detroit, who make the playoffs 26 straight years. They haven't been to the playoffs in 7 years. So I did a piece for WTOP.com. And even though, yes, there are concerns with the Capitals coming up in their series with Florida, Panthers led the league in scoring. Panthers had the best record. Capitals have very questionable goaltending. But despite all of those worries, enjoy the ride that you are enjoying right now, because you've got Alex Ovechkin, who's probably, if you were to do a Mount Rushmore of Washington sports icons, he is easily on there. I'd say, Wes Unseld, maybe Sammy Baugh, And then for baseball, maybe Ryan Zimmerman now, or you'd go Walter Johnson, you know, if you want to go with the old Senators. But as far as this is a, and he has a chance to be the, to be the all-time leading goal scorer in the NHL. And even if he doesn't catch Wayne Gretzky, given the time that he's playing hockey in, you could make the argument that Alex Ovechkin is the best pure goal scorer in NHL history. So I think the Capitals are number one, although there's always going to be the latent there. There's always going to be fruit that you can find for the burgundy and gold, the Commanders. I'd say number two, I would go Washington Nationals, although because the Wizards have just been mismanaged lately, but this is a basketball town, Nestor, as you know. And so I think that if the Wizards were to get hot, this would become a basketball town. So this is very shaky ground that we are on. But I think that the Caps are the Capitals fans. I think you've got diehards who have been going to games since 1974 and a new generation who started going to games since Alex Ovechkin. So that's my number one. Number two, I would say, would be the Nationals just because of recent success. Three would be the Wiz, and four would be the Burgundy and Gold.
Well, I mean, that's really an amazing thing, you know, the fall from grace there and all of that, and how it leads to the next conversation. Dave Preston here from WTOP. We'll get to the James Bond and all that, and the Austin Powers, Shagalicious. Yeah, go ahead. You got a James Bond.
And craziest thing, I read an article, and you talk about the Bullets way back when, about how they were the winning team in Washington. And I read this article about when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted to be traded from Milwaukee. His first choice was the Knicks. His second choice was not the Lakers, according to his agent. His second choice was Washington. Could you imagine if Kareem had been able to come to Washington? Granted, the Bullets would have had to give up Wes Unseld and probably Elvin Hayes. But talk about one of the, changing the course of the history of the league, because all of a sudden Magic has no Kareem to go to. Instead, Larry has Kareem to go up against to even get to the NBA Finals. That's just an aside right there. But
45 years ago, you're bringing back my childhood now. Yeah. So we're, it's getting pretty good.
And the Bullet fans who are just like, oh my goodness, we could have freaking had Kareem. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, I'm a Maryland guy. We could have had Moses. Dave, this World Cup thing, when it came down a couple Fridays ago, and it's still kind of fresh to me, right. I'm a World Cup guy, right? I went over to Germany in 06. I had plans to go to South Africa in 10. I had plans to go to South Korea and Japan in 02. My buddy Scotty backed out on me. We wound up not going, and they wound up having the Oliver Kahn match and all the incredible things that happened in 02. We're 20
Thanks
years
a lot,
out on
Scotty.
All this. Yeah, we're out on 20 years out on all this, right? And I mean, God, we're a dozen years out on them playing against England in the starter, and we're going to have that again in December now in Qatar. But For the World Cup to come to America in 2026 and Mexico and Canada and not be a part of DC would just be stunning, right? Like, I mean, whole time we were talking about this, we thought, well, DC's got to be a part of it. Like New York and LA have to be a part of it.
Right.
And then there's the stadia in Dallas or Miami and factions like the Hunt family in Kansas City or places they'd want to go like Seattle. But Baltimore was always pushing the ball. They had a press conference last year. They brought the contingent in. I didn't laugh at it. I love Baltimore. It's a pipe dream to think we would have World Cup games here. But 10 days ago, the fact that this thing got combined, the fact that FIFA wanted it, the fact that the North American Committee wanted it, says to me a little bit, it feels like, and I'm crossing my fingers, that the fix is in, that this is really going to happen. And if it really happens, I don't think people have here especially don't have any thought of like what this represents, that it could be 6 to 8 World Series games, Super Bowls, whatever you would want to call it, but what it would mean for tourism, for the whole area. And something that you and I have had a lot of fun over the years, that Baltimore and Washington are separated and you're you and we're us and we have to borrow the Capitol sometimes or come down for a concert sometimes or whatever. You would come up for Oriole games in the old days, and that's over with now. That Baltimore would slide in on this bid and really squeeze a lot of the juice out of this thing. It's really an amazing Baltimore story right now if this were to happen. It's not amazing that DC would get games, but it is amazing that DC would get a bid and not have games. That's kind of an incredible thing.
I'm kind of floored by that, because I remember when we got the story, it was, games will be at M&T Bank Stadium and there will be a pep rally on some pavilion in Washington. That's like Malibu Stacy getting a new hat. It's like, really? It just goes to show how bad FedEx Field is for them not to get any games there, because you would think that, you know, a facility of that size should get something. I'm surprised that perhaps they haven't looked at maybe Maryland Stadium seats 50,000. You could maybe have matches there. Audi Field isn't a huge field, so I don't think you really can do that. I don't think you can reconfigure Nationals Park into a soccer stadium as it's constructed. But I think it would be huge for this area, and I think it'd be a great coup for Baltimore. You know, to put themselves on the map with this. They're right near not just one, but you know, three major metropolitan airports. So, you know what, if you can't get into if the rate's not great at BWI, and usually it is, you can get in at Dulles and it's not that much of a haul. Same with DCA. Metropolitan transportation isn't that bad from DCA and Dulles per se, but I think this would be a huge coup for Baltimore. And at a time when, you know, yes, the Ravens are good and consistently well-run, but at a time when, oh, you got the O's who are just disappointing. And I think it's a great coup for the city, and it's something that we can look forward to in 4 years.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm waiting. And they've gotten me excited now. They got me excited, like calling it, like I'm telling people I think it's probable or likely at this point. I never would have said that.
I will be interested to see where the matches are, because when the match, you know, with the World Cup matches, as you know, they spread it around between the different cities. It'll be intriguing to see which will there be group matches? Will there be knockout round matches? That's why I think that maybe Audi Field might be able to sneak in as a group stage match between, like, say, let's say Ghana plays Slovenia. So it's not a huge draw per se. You don't have, it's not like Brazil going up against, Germany or Argentina playing Italy. It's an undercard match.
Italy, they're going to let them in?
Oh, they got to play their way in.
There's 48. There's going to be more teams.
Yeah.
So, true. Like, all of a sudden, with more teams, there's more games. That's one of the ways we're getting in on this, right? If there were less games, Baltimore might not get a bid. You know, Dallas might not get a bid. But I
don't know how many matches you're going to get, but I think it's great for the city. Anytime you get something along this lines, this is akin to getting an NCAA Final Four, akin to getting a Super Bowl. Baltimore doesn't have an arena for the for either at this point in time. So this is that next level thing that rotates and you can showcase the charms of the city. And Baltimore does have a lot to offer. I know that Baltimore has a lot of work to do, but you know, so does Washington, D.C. So does every city. And, what is amazing and what I think Dan Snyder never really got in his first 20 years as an owner was the fact that FedEx Field needed an apparatus around it. What makes going to games in Baltimore, whether it's an Orioles game, whether it's a Ravens game, is that there are places to go to before and after that aren't your Volkswagen, sedan where you're going to eat out of. So, I mean, there are a lot of places to go to in and around the city before and after the game. There's also some great art museums that I've been to. The train museum's fun as well. The harbor, I'm sure they do harbor tours too. So, I mean, there's a lot of history in the city that people can check out. There's a lot of fun things that you can do in the city before and after matches, or while you're in town for the weekend to catch, who knows who's going to play. Maybe, I'm going to say Scotland or Scotland against Belgium.
Well, the World Cup thing's weird too. And FIFA would look at this and say, well, Baltimore's a suburb of Washington. It's 35 miles. It's on a train. You could party down on the mall, walk six blocks to the train station, get on the train, and in 35 minutes, you're in downtown Baltimore. I think they look at this as a Dallas-Fort Worth thing, or they look at this thing as a Santa Clara. Santa Clara ain't San Francisco, but you'd have games there. No. And from Santa Clara Stadium to down to the Transamerica Building in downtown San Francisco, it's a lot further than from Baltimore to Washington. And there's no train that takes you door to door, literally.
Right? I think it's in a different time zone. It might be I could be wrong, but it feels like it should be in a different time zone, Santa Clara to San Fran. It's what's amazing, and if you've been to the Bay, I lived in Castro Valley when I was a kid. Santa Clara probably is enjoying a different season right now than San Francisco. How the Bay is set up and everything.
But I would say this, the international in Baltimore, we look at the, right. Hey, going down to DC. I ain't going down there. That's too far. Right. It ain't safe down there. You know, I remember hearing, you ain't going down there to Bayou. So I hear all of that. Right. As I've gotten older,
I think people would be more cool from Washington and this area to go to Baltimore, because in effect, a lot of people were used to years going up to Landover to catch Caps and Bullets games. They're used to going to FedEx Field in Landover. A lot of them go to Navy games, and it's not that much further up. For years, they did go to Baltimore, so they're not, you know, it's not a foreign concept. It's not going to Wilmington, heaven forbid, or Aberdeen, which is,
Hey, Rutschman was there last week. Watch out for that.
I think this would be a great event. I'm curious to see which matches would be played there. I kind of wish that, you know, maybe a match could get played inside the Beltway, whether it's in College Park at the University of Maryland or at Audi Field, which is a fantastic.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Give me the United story, because like the last time I saw them, Beckham was kicking it around down at RFK. I went to RFK for a couple of US qualifiers and friendlies and different stuff like that. I have not set foot into the new stadium. I see it when I've been down to the Nationals for Billy Joel or whatever, but like, I haven't been in there.
Here's Nestor's fun family weekend on tap.
Oh, here we go. Bring me
find a weekend when a team that isn't coming to Baltimore comes in to play the Nationals.
Okay.
Same weekend that DC United is at home. You stay downtown in one of the hotels, you hang out, you catch the Nats play a team one night, maybe when the O's are, I think the O's might be here like on a midweek or something like that. So I don't know if that would work out. And then you catch a soccer game at Audi Field. It is a fantastic soccer venue. As outdated as FedEx Field was, Audi Field is 21st century. It's a fantastic place to catch a game. It's right across the street, basically, from Nationals Park. And there's a lot to do down there on the, it's right near the, there's the, I guess the wharf waterfront is down there too. There's a lot of fun stuff to do down in between Nats Park, Audi Field, and the Wharf.
I'll be hitting Anthem. Don't worry about it. Dave Preston is here. He is Dav Presto, doing all things, let's see, a tourist and otherwise in Washington, D.C. You can follow him out on Twitter at Dav Presto. Last thing for you, I want to get into the James Bond thing, get into all that, because you have as much fun with pop culture, I think, as anybody out on social media. You keep it light.
What?
You keep it light.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, of course I do.
James Bond, what is your fascination with that? Because you are a Bondophile. Is there such a thing? Do you go to the conventions and all that?
I mean, I got into him when I was a kid. I was like 13, 14 years old. I mean, here I was, this kid who was watching Goldfinger, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, this guy's cool. I'm an unlicensed driver at age 13. This guy is driving the coolest car. All the girls really like him. He goes up against the bullies and bad people, and he wins in the end using his wits, his fists, and of course, he's got those cool gadgets and
the chicks. Don't forget the chicks and the drinks. Don't forget the martini shake, not stir.
I led with that, perhaps. Right. No. And so it's just, and they're great stories. They're fantastic action adventure stories, and you get to see a story arc. And then over the years, I just got into enjoying each of the different movies and how they present 007 in the different eras. And as a guy who writes about a lot of different things, writing about James Bond just became a natural thing to fall into, Nestor.
All right. Well, I know you're Connery, not Moore, right?
Yeah, Connery. Although I have met George Lazenby.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. I wish I had met Roger Moore. Well, the Roger Moore story, the day he died, that was famous, that someone ran into him and he stayed kayfabe at an airport, is still one of my all-time favorites.
Because
Roger Moore was my guy. The man with the golden gum was my. So you had a Herve Vichet's knickknack reference, I think, last week.
Yes, on Twitter.
I think that's why we fell into this
Twitter.
Bond. Yep.
I do this thing called hashtag Bond birthday. So I look up the IMDb.com and I look and see, okay, whose birthday is it? Sometimes it's a grand slam. Sometimes it's like, oh, Daniel Craig, oh, Pierce Brosnan. Sometimes it's, ooh, the Gert Frobe, the guy who played Goldfinger. Sometimes it's, yeah, this guy was a KGB agent who was thrown at the racetrack by Grace Jones. So sometimes it's very minuscule, but Herve Vichet's, I liked him as Knick Knack. They made him kind of a little silly at the end, that last scene where He tries to kill 007 on the boat. It's kind of juvenile, but I thought he was a nice variation of the silent and strong and huge henchman that you saw with Hans in You Only Live Twice, or Teehee in Live and Let Die. Or, of course, the standard was, Oddjob as far as villains, as far as henchmen per se. And I always get asked, what's the difference between a henchman and a minor villain in a James Bond movie? I think one's union and one's management. So you got a 401k. If you're Rosa Klebb, if you're Red Grant, you're pretty much, on scale.
Well, if you're a high fat or you're a Francisco Scaramanga, it's a little bit different as well. Dave Preston is here. We're mixing and matching all Bonds. Yeah, the only days that matter in the year are Maude Adams' birthday and of course the Swedish sensation from The Man with the Golden Gun.
What I really like, Maude Adams is fantastic in both of her roles, as because she was Octopussy years later, but as Andrea Anders, she was fantastic as the woman caught, kind of in the crossfires between the two guys, and it was a very believable character. And Octopus, it was just nice to see a woman within 20 years of Roger Moore's age, hook up with him, as opposed to somebody young enough to be his granddaughter.
Ah, the problems of casting James Bond films. The Broccoli family had lots of issues with that. He is Dave Preston. He's Dad Preston. Not just doing Bond, not just doing March Madness, doing spring sports, but covering all things Washington sports down in the Capitol. I threw this at Steve Goff when I had him on last, because I got to kick everybody in the groin from Washington. When I get Feinstein on, I'll say, we've been here all these years, and you had to share the baseball team, then you stole the baseball team, and then our guy stole the network, and like all of that. I knew at some point y'all would need us for something. So finally, yes. DC needs Baltimore for our stadium, our football stadium, for the World Cup. I think this is a kumbaya moment, Dave. This is hands across the Baltimore Washington Parkway and making this thing work here as one unified World Cup bid for North America. How did I do?
Hey, I would love to have some matches, whether if not in DC, up in Baltimore. So
there'll be no DC matches. Your stadium's not big enough, and the toilet's not flush.
Well, there you go.
How about that? It's hard to give you. You're not like a real DC guy. You sort of play one on the radio. You know what I mean?
I do.
Like to get after the real DC guy that's really hurting with that burgundy and gold.
Rick,
hey, man,
Snyder, give Rick Snyder a call.
Yeah, listen, it is passé at this point. I mean, completely, for the Baltimore-Washington feud thing. So right. I only stoke at 31 years. There is no feud. Y'all don't know we're here. Most people don't know the Terps are there. And everybody here is too interested in the Orioles to ever hate the Nationals. And the Commanders are something that at this point, I used to really dislike the Washington R's. I feel sort of pity in the same way y'all probably pity us up here with the Angelo situation, right?
Well, and I think what kind of maybe erodes whatever ill will there might be from Baltimore to Washington and vice versa sports wise is Washington only plays the Ravens once every 8 years due to the rotation in the NFL schedule, as opposed to playing the Phillies or the Red Sox. 18 times, I think it is, per year. You're only playing, or I guess it's 19. You're only playing each other, six times a year tops.
Orioles and the Nationals have played each other 100 times by now, right? Over 15 years.
But you're only doing it six times a year, as opposed to, it's in a different league. You guys are focused on beating the brains out of
I'll give you an example. When the Yankees win the World Series, every Mets fan is pissed, and vice versa. Yeah. Same thing with the Dodgers and the Angels. Same thing with whatever. Pick any Cubs and White Sox. Pick any of those things. Uh-huh. The Nationals had a party down there, had a World Series. With our network, with our idiot screwing up your television experience, right? Literally, like, this has been the strangest 16 years ever. And even amidst all of this, there really is no animosity amongst the fan bases anymore. There's no more "you suck," "no, you suck." That existed 25 years ago on this side of the fence. That's gone. I mean, that's just flittered away at this point because of the lack of relevance of the Commanders, I think, and the lack of relevance of the Orioles. But more than that, there really is no rivalry. No. And to wit, in 2026, the biggest sporting event in the history of the region, because we're not getting Super Bowls, we're not getting Final Fours, beyond a Billy Joel and a Paul McCartney concert, we're not getting much. But this would be that. Well, at a theater near you, of course. I mean, very nice, maybe. But putting a bid together of Baltimore and Washington doing something together, that's a little dogs and catsy from a guy to 53. But in the modern era, it's the only way to do it. It's the only way to get it done.
I mean, yeah. I mean, this wouldn't have happened in 1995. You know, because I think what Jack Kent Cooke was still trying to block any, you know, expansion franchise going into Baltimore, as you know, back in the day, if you think what was written. So I mean, what's amazing is that there's that old McDonald's commercial from like 1983, where it was the Burgundy and Gold had just come off of playing in the Super Bowl for the second straight year. Orioles had just come off of winning the World Series, and you had a bunch of the Hogs and you had a bunch of the Orioles, you know, running, "I love the taste of McDonald's." And they were talking about whatever breakfast sandwich they were getting or whatever. And and Doc Walker was in the mix. I think Mike Boddicker was there. And Joe Jacoby. I forget who else was in the mix, but it was just, that was the illustration from the area from 1984 to 1995. That was the sports area, because you had the Wizards in the Wilderness. You had the Caps, you know, disappointing everybody and breaking hearts, you know, on Easter Sunday.
Dave, you know what we had here? We had no football, Mayflower pictures, watching our football team run around in a plastic blimp out in the Midwest. Yeah. And we had Redskins games piped in here as though they were the new home team.
Oh, yeah.
That's what my life was as a 15-year-old, just so you know. Yeah. The pain. Why do we hate D.C. so much at that point? People of my era, it's because of everything you just said, the Jack Kent Cooke, all of that, right? And now here we are, fast forward to 2022, we're sharing a World Cup bid, and we're getting the juice. We're getting the good part.
Getting the games. We get the party on the pavilion.
Woo! Bring the Beach Boys, baby. That's what I'm saying. Bring it down to the mall.
Exactly.
Hey, Dave, I appreciate you, man. One day we'll watch Bond on a big screen together. And we'll fight over whether it'll be Moonraker or whether it'll be The Man with the Golden Gun. You'll want some of that Connery thing.
I'll bring a Connery. You bring a Roger
Moore. From Russia with Love. All right. Good.
Or you choose a Connery, I choose a Moore. And we mix and match.
Would you pick a bad Moore because you didn't like him? You'd pick one of the
stinkers. No. I really liked For Your Eyes Only. Spy Who Loved Me was like the quintessential Moore film.
Like Heaven Above Me.
Yeah.
If I can listen to Carly Simon sing that, I'll be okay. Dave, I appreciate you, man. Good luck. Hang out. At some point, there'll be a concert or a thing or a DC thing that'll bring us together, and I hope it's soon, all right?
I'll send you a DC United schedule. You got to check out Audi Field.
Dave Preston, he is Dad Presto. He is down at WTOP, pimping all things the nation's capital, as we're now together, brothers in arms, Baltimore and Washington together for the 2026 bid. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.